There are seven acknowledged wonders of the world. You are about to witness the eighth.
Your attention, everyone.
All this is regrettable, but there's no cause for alarm.
That's right. Back with the Regrettable Podcast.
Regrettably, yes.
None of us are even introduced yet, so I'm your host, Tyler Massey. Of course, with me, both excellent co-hosts, the legendary Jay Lindley. How are you, sir?
What's up, homie?
And, of course, my brother, the newsman, Patrick Massey. That's what they used to call him.
Yep. Most regrettable.
So I used to work for this greenhouse. It was a summer job when I was in high school. And
In Canada. In the frozen wastes?
Yeah, you get 3 months out of the year where anything grows.
Yeah, okay. So,
but you and I are the green thumbs in this air, in this.
I was just manual labor, like, forced me to carry landscape timbers and whatever else for old ladies.
He would turn old pallets into mulch and sell it for $10 a bag.
That's right. No, and the owner was a drunk, and he was always drunk for work and really angry. He was also our football coach. That's how I got the...
That's why you start your own business, so you can like be drunk at work and no one can fire
Who's
you.
Who's gonna tell me?
Yeah.
Who's gonna tell me? Well, the problem was I seen him yell in like an old lady's face to never come back again. Like, get out of here. Don't ever can come back again. Like all this stuff. Dang. And just crazy. And he was just a crazy man. And but like Canadian high school football coach, you know, have to overcompensate for just about every sentence in that or every word in that sentence. You have to compensate for old Canadian high school football coach. Yes. Like that's each one. Now it's like your penis is smaller and smaller.
You've made a lot of bad decisions to get to the point that you're at.
Yes, that's right. So he was insane. And the biggest thing that I helped out with was the actual setup. And then afterwards, I really just watered plants and carried bags of dirt for old ladies and stuff, and they'd tip you well, and he used to pay you in cash, and it was up to you. You could like get paid for the day, or you could, you know, wait a month and just got paid all cash, like a roll. And it was a really good time, I guess, a little bit. But he was so angry, and like, I don't know if you guys ever worked for somebody who was like angry yelling. You know, get off Tinder, Jay. What are you doing? My goodness.
Trying to fix that.
Is it rolling?
Yeah, it was. It says an error occurred, but I think I can just... Sorry.
No, but we're still going, right?
It says it is, yes.
Okay, so by the way, interrupting the story. Not you, me. I'm interrupting it. You can watch us on Twitch when we do this live, by the way. I'm going to keep that in. So Twitch, what is it? Jay Wesley Lindley? Yes, Twitch, sir. Blah, blah, blah.
That's honestly where the most regrettable stuff stays.
Yes.
You cut it out of the finished product.
Yeah. I'm just sick of hearing you guys talking. What's the point of conversation if the other people are going to talk?
Again, right? I sat through the editing process with him. You're like the angriest person in the world when you're editing that. Just skipping ahead 5 seconds. Just pissed off the whole time.
Absolutely. I hate it.
And it like, is, oh, takes some pride
I, it's
in
like
it.
I did it already, so I get, so yeah, I skip ahead. Yeah.
But we let you start talking first.
You're gonna make me sit down and listen to that whole China thing from last one?
Yes.
Oh man.
Absolutely. He's all trying to cut the good parts out. I'm like, no, keep it. And he's like, fine.
I love it.
I found that I love my brother less when I'm with him in the editing process. Yeah.
That's fine by me. I'm down to business when it comes to that. This is subpar. We should not keep it. But yeah, have you guys ever worked for somebody who's like really angry all the time?
No.
Yeah. A couple of people. One of them that comes to mind was the general manager of Pizza 44. I don't know if on this show we've talked about
the Iraqi guy, or right?
Something. Huh?
The Iraqi guy.
No. He was the owner.
Yeah.
Who ran it most of the day, except for in the evenings.
He was just happy not to be in Iraq anymore.
Yeah. In the evenings, it was like a ex-meth. He used to be a methy.
Right.
And you could tell.
Yeah. Crater face.
Ex-methy.
Yeah.
Who still brought some, like, 20-something-year-old chick up to the back room for 30 minutes while we're doing all the work.
Yeah. You hear that noise that's just like...
What's he got to be angry about? He's banging his girlfriend at work, and he's beat his meth addiction.
Well, he got
and he's is he old school meth?
Yes,
because that means it was crank.
Yeah, so yeah,
it was
rocket.
It was like a line of yellow. You'd take it, and your eyes would instantly explode into tears.
Red rock. Yeah,
nose blood pouring down both nostrils.
Yeah,
but yeah, he would. He got caught. The owner busted him stealing, basically, and you know. The owner didn't have anybody else to run the night shift, so he just kind of was like, don't ever do it again.
Right.
And I now installed cameras to watch you. He was pissed at the world because he couldn't steal anymore,
right.
to be honest.
So TBH. He took it out on his drivers and whatnot.
When I got there, the owner was still there, and I wasn't a driver. I was just cut off some of the meat from the stick of meat that was the lamb, cone. The gyro lamb.
The
stuff.
Kebab.
Yeah. Big old stick of meat. Or it was to, you know, roll out the dough for the evening. Because it was, you made most of your pizzas in the evening. You know, they had a buffet too.
Was it also like a weapon smuggling ring?
Probably.
Or anything?
It could have been.
Funneling arms to the fedayeen.
But no, so you know, again, installed the cameras that really took out his ability to just kind of take from the till whenever he chose.
As you will.
Yeah, exactly.
He was angry,
so,
right?
I mean, so yeah, then in the evenings when the owner left and the buffet shut down, I was then transferred into a delivery guy.
Oh, okay.
Not like the owner didn't know, but the owner kind of sheltered me a little bit because I was only 16 years old. And you really shouldn't have been in the state of Oklahoma. You had to be 18 to be a delivery driver.
Right.
So,
oh, man.
Yeah. And we went to some hood areas.
Yeah, you said the owner like punched a dude out for $20 or something, right?
Did I tell that on this show?
You did.
Yes, he sure enough did.
He sure enough did.
Right in front of me.
Yeah, $20 is worth a punch to the face.
And turned around.
It's just not. It's just not.
And turned around and pointed to the little scared white kid behind him and said, "See, I told you he was full of crap.
Just do that next time."
Exactly. Okay. You have about 150 pounds on me. Your arms are like freaking Popeyes. Yeah. And of that's course, like, you could just punch him out.
That's like the dad making you smoke a carton of cigarettes. Like, it's ineffectual. Doesn't make sense. The Iraqi owner, like, goes and punches out a guy who stole $20. And says, "See, that's what you got to do." Like, that doesn't work.
Yeah.
Doesn't work.
Not for a little kid.
Not for a 16-year-old kid.
Yeah.
What do you got over there?
I worked for an angry guy once. He was just part of the hierarchy at a dealership. He was the general manager. I thought he was just some ugly little Irish guy. And now it just turns out he was just beet red mad all the time. But I didn't have to deal with him very much. I just saw some of his interactions. Like I saw him throw a chair at a customer once they got an argument over the price of a vehicle or something. So his response was just to chuck a chair right at the customer. And I saw him yell at plenty of other people. I think he died from a heart attack recently.
Oh, well, that's one way to cure your anger a little bit.
Dang.
That's funny. This guy, his name was Rick. He was angry all the time, like never saw him crack a smile. And he had this big, thick mustache, and it would like wiggle as he got angrier. Like you could watch him as he's like steaming, and the mustache would start trembling. And
this is why I drink.
Yes. And you would smell alcohol on him. He was an insane, insane person. Like one of the most insane people. I don't know exactly where I was going with the greenhouse story. It was one of those, you know, just kind of summer jobs. Only worked at that once, and he scared me off. I was like, no, I'm not going back there next summer. So I got a job at Mickey D's instead.
I worked at a greenhouse for a good 6, 7, 8 months with my wife. Up until last year, the only job I ever got fired from, and it was actually my wife who fired me because the owners, I mean, she was the manager. My wife was the manager. The owner said, "Hey, look, the business is failing because they're more or less like taking money out of the cash register."
Right,
like embezzling from your own company, not a good. You embezzle from somebody else's, not from your own. In any case, the company was failing, and they asked her to relieve me of my duties there. So she sat me down, gave me the whole, you know, "You've been a very valuable member of the team here."
Was it corporate?
But,
like, we're going to have to let you go.
Yes, very corporate.
That's awesome.
But it was the best job. I left the best paying job I've ever had to do this, which was one of the worst paying jobs, probably the worst paying job I've ever had.
But you just loved it.
Absolutely. I just got to listen to podcasts all day long. I listened to a lot of news, music on my headphones while I'm just like watering, taking care of plants. Very cathartic. It was great.
Yeah. There was quite a few people that worked there. He employed a lot of the kids that were on the football team.
Okay. Yeah.
And so there was ones that were like, okay, you're strictly potter, like you do plant stuff, replant stuff. I was like, you know, bag hauler and just spray with water. So like your first year, you don't really get to mess with the plants too much. You just, you know, and I helped build, it was like one of the manliest things. You help build the greenhouses where you would like lay these almost like railroad ties down and bolt in like the metal skeleton and wrap over the sheet and stuff. And I actually liked it because I worked there with a couple really good friends. And, you know, it was like just down the street. I would walk home. But one of the worst experiences of my life, and I've told this on the show a few times, but I haven't told it on the podcast, is medical experiences of my life. I was working there and we were loading up a truck full of plants. And I was standing at the back of the truck, like loading something up into the bottom. And this other guy was in the truck and he got handed some plants and put it down on a shelf that was right in front of my face. And it blew sawdust and like wood chips into my eyes, and like I was just immediately blinded, like, you know. And I tried to muscle through. Of course, what I like walked baby. Away like just I know
glass of water and take a walk.
Oh man. I went into, it was in the Safeway parking lot on McPhillips there, so I went into the Jefferson and McPhillips in Winnipeg. I went into the Safeway to like try and flush out my eyes under the sink.
He didn't have an eye wash station.
He did not have an eye wash, dude. This place was set up, and as soon as a tax man comes knocking, you can just like, it was like, it's like a circus. It was like, never there.
If Canada bordered Mexico, it would have all been Mexican people working there.
Yes, exactly. Like, you know, it was a probably cheap labor. I never signed anything. It was paid right out of the till. Uh-huh. Like literally, like payday, it'd be like, like he'd hit the till, it'd open up, and he just and so I go in there and trying to flush out my eyes, and I just couldn't. They had this big metal like napkin dispenser, and I punched through that shit, like into the wall, punched a big hole it hurt so bad. I was so like angry, like from
did that make you feel better?
Pain. Did it happen?
No.
Vandalism? Yeah.
No, I felt bad a little bit after
You're like these rioters.
Yeah.
Yeah, just relieve your grief by looting something and vandalizing it. Yeah,
I know. But like they take me, nobody took me. I was like, I gotta do something. I cannot flush my eyes for the life of me. No eye wash station, no none of that. So I walked blindly down to the hospital. Thankfully, Canada just like walk to the hospital.
They're everywhere, man.
They're everywhere. So walked like maybe 2 miles or something to the nearest hospital. Got in there, and there was an old man bleeding from his head from a golf ball striking him, and they got me in before him. Like, I went up there, I signed it, told them what was going on. They could see, I could barely have my eyes open, and they were like, you need to go. They rushed me through, and they put me down in this chair, like a dentist chair, and like lean me back, and it has these handles that you can hold.
Yeah.
And
with the clasps that go over your arm so you can't.
No, it didn't have those, but it should have, because I was going nuts. So like, dude, I don't like, who likes their eyes being
like taking
prodded?
Tweezers and pulling out shards
from
your eyes?
So the first thing they did is they yank my eyes open and they put in this stuff into my eyes that
deadens it.
Dude, it felt like my eyes were melting out of it. It was like acid. Yeah. And then they took this, it looks like a toothpick, but it's flat at the end like a chisel, and it's dipped in this orange dye, and they run it over all the whites of your eyes. So like they're holding me down, they're holding my eye open, doing this stuff. Like it'd be like if you were trying to do it to a dog. I was like thrashing.
Yeah, it sounds like Clockwork Orange.
Yeah. Yeah. And then eventually they go in with like this cotton swab, I guess, that like grabs all the stuff and pulls out. So cotton swabbing my eye, and then I had to like wash him out for a while and walked out feeling fine. But dude, I've broken bones. I've experienced some pain in my life. There was nothing compared to that.
I have an eye injury story.
Yeah?
It's nowhere near as noble as yours.
Noble.
Yeah, because I was in a drunken brawl, to be basically honest. But long story short, guy I used to work with, we always had words at the work. He thought he was tough. I just was like, leave me alone, bro. He was just that guy that always had to puff his chest up and was like, leave me alone. Well, finally, I didn't work with him, so I was like, you know what? Next time I see you out in public, I will take you out, bro. I'd love to do so. And he was like, what? Oh, really? So fast forward 6 months later, I'm at my house. He's drunk, apparently. Calls up and was like, hey, we're going to come over there, and we're going to kick your butt. I'm like, hey, great time to, because I'm having a party at my house. All my bros are here. Bring all your bros. We'll have a big brawl out in the front yard. So he gets there with his brother. That was it. It was me and my and some people at the time that I knew. And so I was like, I got this. No problem. His brother really wasn't about it. It was just between him and me. I jumped over. First thing I did was jump over a brush pile. We recently had an ice storm there. Brush pile right in front of the house. Jumped over the brush pile. Didn't completely jump over it. One of the limbs literally just barely scraped my cornea, but lacerated my eyeball completely.
Right.
Couldn't see out of it.
I'll fight you with one eye blinded.
The adrenaline, I didn't even notice it.
Right.
With the adrenaline. Took care of my business.
Right.
Was walking back in the house, and I'm like, man, my eye kind of hurts. Within 3 minutes of that, all the adrenaline was gone. My eye was killing me with no let up, period. Right. We had to go to the emergency room. They dropped that stingy crap in there.
But it deadens it. Because the moment that they started scraping my eye with the orange thing, like I couldn't really feel it.
Right. It was like you could feel the push.
Right.
But you couldn't. Yeah.
Right.
Because there's no nerves in your eyes.
No. Right. You can touch that thing. But there's something about getting stuff blown. It hurt, though.
Exactly.
So what's with that? Why?
The splinters and moving up against the inside of your eyelid.
Yeah.
That's where the pain happens.
Skin.
Yeah.
And it was like, you know, watching him come down with that thing was like the alien, like fire in the sky, zzz, right into your eye. Oh man, worst medical experience of my life, and I had my dad give me an enema.
Can we hear that story?
Sure. I had a lot of stomach problems as a kid, like from when I was a baby. Patrick wanted to strangle me and leave me in the trash. I'm sure because I was crying all the time, colic baby or whatever they call that.
Colic.
And yeah,
he was
faking.
We had one that had colic, so luckily.
I was like, there's a good portion of my very young life where I was just constipated. I didn't shit for a month, like, or more, for like a couple times, like, and I would be okay for a while. And then, so I had to continue. This is a whole different story.
Was there part of it due to choice?
No. Well,
because you just kind of hold it in when you didn't feel like you need to go right then.
No, I wanted to go so bad.
Oh, okay. It's constipation.
The doctors told my mom. Because so I was always switching between living with my dad in the States and my mom in Canada. And when I lived with my mom, I never had the issue. And when I would live with dad in the States, there was an issue. And I'm not sure if it was because of just meat. Like
it
meat
was a lot
pack,
of meat. You know, I don't remember eating anything green at my dad and stepmom's place ever. It was just like pork chops with a side of chicken fried steak.
Yeah. And they used to do this thing like they'd cook up like 20 steaks. And then we'd eat steaks, and then they'd put the steaks not in the fridge onto a baking pan and then into the oven. Like, not on or anything. It's just like, you want a steak, go to the oven, and, you know, just meat sitting room temp in an oven for like days.
Japanese aged beef.
Yeah. And I would, that's how I was a kid. What do I know? I know to go to the oven, grab a steak, and just chew
You're
on
hungry,
that.
Yeah.
And suck on it like a pacifier.
And they cooked everything so well done. And it was like jerky. They were really just making jerky. So it was probably fine.
Yeah.
And I feel like to this day, I don't know if I've ever legitimately had an upset stomach. Like, I've faked it plenty of times.
Yuck, you've got to have had an upset stomach.
I don't know.
Like eating like a big Sonic meal or something and then a milkshake and you've never had that like... Like
a little bit like I've never
like
thrown
the agitator
up
in a,
but it's gone instantly. I just drink more milk and then I'm fine. but I've never thrown up from being sick in my stomach, like stomach flu.
Never overeaten.
I think I might have, now that I think about it, I think I told Lindley once when I first started here, I was like, oh, I was up all night throwing up or something so I could get out of here early. You know,
okay.
Damn, sorry about that. Hey, I wouldn't do it to you. You know now. Like, I've never legitimately like been throwing up.
When I was a kid, I ate so much ravioli that, like, so much that I just ejected it all.
Yeah.
Like, I didn't feel, or I guess I felt bad. It was like at night and I come into my dad and stepmom's room and I'm like, I don't feel blah, like all into there. And at one point, like they rushed over and like tried to open the door more and it was like pooled up at the door and scraped it into the carpet.
I was just going to say, I think that my strong tolerance to cultures and gut, like my gut bacteria has really benefited from eating those oven steaks for days at a time. Because, I mean, otherwise you just didn't eat, you know.
It was the oven steaks or starve.
But the doctor was saying that boy's got a little too much protein in his diet? Or?
No, the doctors did all kinds of tests. They couldn't figure it out. And then a Canadian doctor told me, I think it's stress.
Mental craziness.
Yeah. So whenever I was there, so one of the first times I was still in the States at this point and constipated probably like for a month, dude, I'm not joking, you know? And then we used to always talk about, like, they always use that famous, I don't know, is it like Louis Armstrong? There was like an old jazz musician who actually died from his chronic constipation. Like, he didn't shit for months.
Yeah, I know, I think I've heard that.
Yeah, I don't remember who it is. I'll look it up later. But
wasn't Louis Armstrong actually on like the saxophone or trumpet or whatever? He was just farting from being constipated.
Yeah, they were like, they prescribed, okay, it's enema, like pure grease right up in there, and to grease it up. Yeah, there's grease. There's also something like water, and then to break it up, and then just shoot out your asshole like a garden hose. So
dad's like, I did not sign up for this when I had children.
So, and I remember it was this like really hot nurse, and she's like, okay, it's time to administer the enema, and she was like, do you want me to do it or your dad? And I was like, my dad. And I'm sure he was like, why the hell did I have kids? Oh my god. So he's like, okay, you know, dad, he gets his hands dirty, he'll get a job done.
Yeah.
So he yanks me into the room and he's like, come on, like, and I
how old were you?
I must have been like 9 okay, or 10 or something.
Not too bad, I guess.
Like he shoves that thing up my ass. 17. And like it was so hard. It's like trying to hold, like, you know, like to keep it there, and it's greasy.
Yeah.
And it, like at one point it shot out my ass and I farted a bunch of like grease into my dad's face. Like I remember that. Like, cuz that's what it does. It puts air, it puts grease, all of that right up in there. And like, as soon as it comes out, it's like floodgates are already open. I just remember he was like, ugh.
Oh, my
like he
God.
Wiped his face.
Holy.
Like, wow. Yeah, dude.
It's something else.
I wasn't worth it. I should have just died. But
I would have let you.
Yeah. But then later on, when I was in Canada and still having the problem, like left over from then, and this is the last time I ever had to deal with it, doctor prescribed this stuff called Go Lightly. And it was a jug of just salt water to me. Just salt water. And I had to drink a glass every 30 minutes.
Brine.
Dude, it was over a gallon. And it was like, you got to drink the whole thing. And I was just, I couldn't.
Ew.
I couldn't do it. Like,
saline.
Finally, it was like saline or something. Like, it was just salt water. And, you know, my mom, of course, she was trying to make it better, so she like got some grape
Kool-Aid mix
and was like, here, we'll try that. And I took a big chug and immediately vomited it all out. And then
Does that mean it's working?
That stuff actually worked in the end goal. I got rid of the problem forever after that.
Wow.
But now to this day, I cannot drink anything grape flavored. Grape soda, grape Gatorade, grape Kool-Aid, anything. It tastes like straight salt. And one time when we were on the show, on the morning show, Higgy brought a bunch of those 5-hour energy shots, and they were all grape flavored. And I was like, I don't think I can do this. And I took it, and I was like, well, I nearly vomited on the air.
Tasted like salt, too.
Straight salt.
That's funny how grape flavored tasted like
just
salt.
Grape flavor.
Just because of the trauma in the background.
Yeah, yeah. Seriously. Like, I remember I asked, I don't know if it was a girlfriend or maybe my sister or somebody was like going to the store and was like, you want anything? I'm like, I can take a Powerade or something or Gatorade. And they bring back the grape and I'm like, I can't. Well, let's try it. One sip salt, like the whole ocean going on.
Golly.
Man, sorry I grossed you out. I'm sure this will gross a lot of people out listening, but
yeah.
Gross
outs.
What am I
going
to do? They
I was
happen.
A kid.
Gross outs happen.
It was my body. It was my body changing.
Oh, my goodness.
Yeah. You guys have any problems like that ever?
No.
I thought I was allergic to tomatoes because the first two times I can physically remember eating tomatoes as a kid, I vomited. That evening, it was probably due to something else. Maybe something I ate, or maybe I was sick or something. I just don't remember. But I do remember physically eating like a sliced tomato and vomiting. I just immediately thought, I'm allergic to tomatoes.
Yeah.
And mom was like, really? You think so? She's like, what do you think's all over that ketchup? All in that ketchup you're eating right there. I was like, oh.
Yeah.
Well, it's got to be different. So
I remember it's all about Dad's Burgers. You know, we talked about this on the show before, not on the podcast, though. Dad's Burgers ran the gamut from grossly undercooked to, you know, grossly overcooked.
Yeah, there's like a diamond in the middle of it.
Yeah, they were about 2 inches thick most of the time.
Yeah.
You know, they would just slap them like these thick. No seasoning. Don't need all that.
No,
you know?
Just meat. Right. Grilled.
I remember we were camping out at Medora in North Dakota / Montana, and he was cooking burgers, and like I took one bite and I looked down and it's just pink, like really pink inside and juicy. I'm like, Dad, are these okay to eat? Like normally they're black. You know, that's what I know what a
right.
That's how you know what a,
that's
a
what
burger,
I know a burger yeah, looks like. And he's like, up. They're fine. And oh my God, I ate that thing. And later on, like in the night, I'm like sleeping by my tent. I'm like, oh my God. Like it's doing that thing your stomach where it goes like it's like a depth charge. It's like a torpedo explodes underwater.
Yeah. It's like implodes first.
Yeah.
And then it.
Yeah. So I get up and I run like holding myself like all the way to the bathroom, the outhouse. And like the moment I sit down, it was like, kablam! Oh. Like it was like
broke
a
the
shotgun
sound barrier.
I cracked the ceramics. It like it was, and that was it. There was nothing after that. It was like just one like buckshot shotgun shell all out at once. Oh yeah, yeah.
Oh my goodness.
And then of course later on you'd be eating them and it'd be like, you know, they'd be cooking sizzling high heat for 30 minutes like they're almost done. Just got to get them that, you know, nice shade of ebony, you know, or yeah, maybe onyx or obsidian. You want them to be obsidian and as hard as that, too.
Yeah, I was going to say texture, hardness, definitely obsidian.
It needs to start absorbing or releasing the grease.
Yeah.
Take no longer absorption.
Take the most overcooked burger you've ever had. Remove all moisture.
Pass it by the sun. Yeah. And you have Dad's Burgers.
Now, this is the dad.
Dad.
Okay, I love it.
Our stepdad had the same problem, but with bacon. Never undercooked it, always overcooked it. It was always just...
Is
it
that where y'all's crispy despise for crispy bacon comes from?
Yeah, for me especially, because his, like, you touch it and just poof.
Yeah,
it's
I
just
love those.
Bacon powder.
Yeah.
I want it to disintegrate my mouth in a char
it's
taste.
It's just glass.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, and I can eat it, but that's what bacon was to me for the longest time. Now, Dad, on the other hand, he would get the bacon chunks, like, it was way cheaper. Like real dad, he would get bacon chunks. It was like a package that was vacuum sealed. You open that up and just throw it all in. And those were never overcooked, probably undercooked. But it was like chunklets. It was chunklets. Like, you know how bacon really is a slab that gets cut like that? It was the ends.
Yeah.
It was like the ends of kind of like how McDonald's, they'll do the hash browns. It's just fry tips. It's just like they do not waste anything. The fries get cut, the tips get scrolled up, and then smashed into a patty.
Cool.
Look at them next time. You're like, this is just fries.
Interesting.
This is fry tips.
Never
sealed together with grease.
Yesterday's fry tips.
Yeah.
Thanks to our dad and stepmom's cooking, we were the first children ever diagnosed with colon cancer.
Yeah.
Nice.
Yeah, first time ever in the world somebody made chicken cordon bleu with bananas. And
hold
like,
up.
And all of us were trying to eat it, like, and my dad was like, "This is shit."
Yeah. Finally.
That time they visited, when we moved into the house that we live in now, they came down for a couple of weeks and stayed with us.
Mm.
And like the first night they made this, like, or she made this like wine and mushroom gravy.
Pork chops
type thing. Yeah. And it literally tasted like vomit. To me. Indistinguishable from vomit and
indistinguishably.
But I will eat a plate of food. It does not matter. I will not leave some behind. For one, it's not like Dad. He was just, I'm not eating this.
Yeah,
you know, he just puts it to the side. Like I'm a decent enough human being. I'm going to work through it. And my wife is like, this is so good, but I'm so full already. So she's once I'm done with my plate, I'm like sitting back like, oh, my gosh, I did it. She scrapes it all onto my plate, and I have to finish that, too.
But it's like you're, you know, you can eat it, and you just like, you compact it. It's like you're safe.
Yeah. You're like a money safe. That's it. Just the door gets closed. It's safe. Nothing's going to upset it.
Yeah. You know? That's my superhuman power. Yeah. For sure.
The iron gut. You got it.
Iron gut.
Yeah. But I can't. I don't know how that allows you to eat things that are abhorrent. I don't understand that. Like, I definitely can't. If I don't like it, I ain't eating it.
Yeah.
Straight up.
No.
I won't. For pride's sake, I will not. I'll leave a plate full of food. Will happen.
It was just, I guess, growing up with you, two stepbrothers, a dad, you know, it was like, you better get what you can or else you might be going to bed hungry.
Right.
I mean, not there was always plenty of food, really, but it was like, I'm a seconds. I love seconds.
Right.
You know, you look at me. I love seconds.
Yeah.
And you'd have to eat. It don't matter whether you like it or not. You got to eat pretty quick. Make sure you're going to have a full belly.
And for the most part, except for a few random, maybe try some stuff out, our stepmom was a very good cook.
Oh, yeah.
Like kind of real good homemade meal type of stuff. And, seconds, he was fighting. You have the sword fight with the forks. Ching, ching. I got that.
Mine.
Anytime I was overseas, like in Budapest, I went with people that, like, when they finally saw a McDonald's, they were just like, their eyes just opened up. I'm like, oh my God, it's like, you know, Mecca to them. And I was just going to the most authentic, greasy, you know, wherever they spoke the least amount of English or any decipherable language, that's where I was going.
€1 for the buffet or something.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Just eating the ugliest. And I learned really quick, the uglier something is, the better it tastes generally.
It's usually true with Indian food for sure.
Yes. Yeah. Casseroles, you know.
We were talking about dad, like, just sitting there being like, this is crap or whatever, just saying whatever you want. Jenny and I were driving home yesterday, and we were listening to the newest Louis C.K. album, and one of his bits is he says, like, I wish I could just be an asshole. Like, right? Like, I could just wish I could just go into, like, a little shop somewhere and be like, I don't like this. Like, you know, Debbie, I don't like your shop. Your name's Debbie. I don't like you. I don't like your shop. Like, he always just dreams of being an ass.
Yeah.
And Jen was like, that's dad.
Yeah.
He will walk into a store and just be like, "Buh," you know?
Yeah, my stepbrother got married in Branson a few years back, 2015 or something, and was in Branson and hadn't seen my dad in a while.
Center
we're up there
the
for
universe.
A week. Yes, yeah, yeah. No doubt. We're walking around the downtown area, which Branson's a town that very much it takes itself quite seriously. You know, it's an entertainment capital of the world as far as they're concerned.
That. They do believe that.
And we're walking around downtown Branson. Me and Caitlin are just roasting it, and Dad's just falling behind, doesn't say anything, you know, and we're just making fun of everything. Then we walk into this pawn shop, and it's got like a guitar on the wall signed by Elvis Presley, amazing firearms racked up. I mean, it's a very nice a pawn shop downtown Branson's probably going to be pretty decent. And they ask him, like, they ask everybody, how you doing? Me and Caitlin are like, oh, great, thanks, you know, and then he's like, my dad's like, awful, because I'm in your terrible town.
Holy crap.
Yes, and the cashier's just like, what? What are
male
you talking about?
Cashier.
Female. Cashier. Yeah, she's like, Branson is awesome. What are you talking about? But then my dad was saved by the owner of the pawn shop, who was like, yeah, I know. This place sucks.
So. He has no problem telling you. You know, he doesn't like your store. He doesn't like your town. He doesn't like your food. You know, all the stuff that, you know, you might just be like, oh, yeah, that's nice. Or like Patrick, oh, I love it. And eat the whole plate.
Oh.
Yeah, we went to one town that – oh, go ahead. Did you have something?
No, I'm good.
We went to Amarillo, and that's a terrible town. That's one of the worst towns on God's brown earth there. Like, nothing for miles and miles and miles, and then it's Amarillo, and it's just this beacon of awful in the middle of nowhere.
Kinshasa in the Democratic Republic of Congo, I think, is a safer town than Amarillo is.
Yeah, you might get stabbed out or something. So we're like, hey, I have the Big Texan. That's the only thing that's there.
Yeah.
But we decided to go and meet up there. It was a nice halfway point for our family to meet. So we decided to go there, and we stayed at this instead of getting like a bed and breakfast, which we did once before, right?
After
this. Yeah. After this particular time, we got a B&B. But this time we went to a travel lodge. And
we didn't anticipate being in a hotel much, so we're like, let's just get the cheapest one. We're just sleeping there. You know, the rest of the time, we're going to be out and about doing stuff, going to club, going to restaurants, going to the beach, the terrible little lake that they
lake
have there.
Lake Meredith. Oh, man, we saw like three trucks get stuck trying to launch boats or get boats back on, and like there was this one like 80s Chevy that was clean. You remember that thing?
It was so nice. Big
it was
old
clean.
Diesel 3/4 ton.
Yeah.
just buried itself, and you could hear the guy was revving it while the tailpipe was underwater, which is fine until you stop revving it, and then it just sucked water right into the motor. Yeah,
it just died.
Yeah, it just stalled. It probably ruined it. But
and then they had a Jeep pull it out. That Patriot,
a Wrangler.
Wrangler.
It was a Wrangler. I was watching him hooking it up. I'm like, this little 4-cylinder piece of shit ain't gonna do nothing. Yeah. And sure enough, it hauls not just that 3/4 ton out, but like every other vehicle that got stuck.
He was, and there was another truck that tried, right? And he couldn't do it. The dude hopped in. He's like, I got a big old Dodge Ram. He's got Oakleys on the back of his head.
Yes.
And America shorts, and he hops in the Wrangler. And pulls it. He felt like a badass that day, I'm sure. We were off to the side, just kind of like waiting along the shore, like just watching the show. It was great. The
muddy water. You put your hand in it, it disappears. Yeah. It's so muddy.
It was
just
muddy.
Any case.
We went to the Travel Lodge.
Yeah. Worst hotel I think I've ever stayed at. Blood on the walls inside the bathroom. They didn't clean that up. We got adjacent rooms, and you know they got the doors that connect the two rooms. If you want, like, let's say you know parents get one room, kids get the next one, you can still enter and exit without having to go outside. So fortunately for that, because the room that Caitlin and I had, the door would not lock on it. So we actually had to barricade the door every night that we stayed there. I think we stayed 2 or 3 nights. Mm-hmm. We had to barricade it every time, you know, just stacking stuff up against it. And then we used the door that in the adjacent room.
Right, to leave.
I don't know. I've almost like repressed some of those memories. I know that most of the folks, it was obviously the Travel Lodge was designed for people to live there, not to stay there. I mean, it was like, I don't know, it was a lot of folks that, I was like a mental asylum. It closed down or something, and they like contracted with the Travel Lodge to take care of the inmates.
Yeah. Like all the employees there live there clearly and, you know, probably just got paid in drugs and housing, room and board. Mm-hmm. And the manager, his name was Troy, and he was he just did not care at all about anything. And we end up like, blood on the walls. We told him about that. He's like, we'll clean it up when you're gone.
Yeah.
And we'll fix the door latch when you're gone and all this stuff. We were promised a pool, and the pool was this green little horrible thing. Yeah. And he's like,
it was like a primordial soup.
Yeah. Like, surprised I didn't see, like, early life climbing out of it. And at one point, he's like, well, Gold's Gym down the way, that we have a contract with them. You're able to...
We partner with Gold's Gym. And so we go down to Gold's Gym because they're like, oh, yeah, you stay at Travel Lodge, you can use the Gold's Gym. We get down there, and there's a guy, like, locking the door as we walk up to it. And we're like, yeah, we're here to use the pool. Like, we're staying at the Travel Lodge. The guy's like, I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah.
Never heard of this agreement or anything. And besides, I'm closing it up right now.
Right.
Like, damn it.
Yeah. A 10-minute walk. Had to walk back in shame.
Yeah.
And, eventually, like, we go down the first night we stay there. We go for the continental breakfast. And we go down, and there's Texas-shaped waffles. And
yeah,
we
wanted I was very excited about it.
Yeah, I was very excited, too. And we go there, and the waffle machine is empty. And we're just trying to. We, like, even opened up the thing. The jug was totally empty. So we go up to the front desk. There's a woman with, like, one leg and just, like, sitting there. And we're like, the waffle machine is empty. She's like, did you shake it? Like
no, it's empty.
It's empty. I mean, maybe you shake it. Maybe you'll be able to produce something out of it. And she like gets up, you know, cane wobbles over to it, like refills it. Worst Texas shaped waffle I've ever had.
Yeah, and there was it was either the next day or the day before, like some other folks staying in there who obviously had made the same mistake we did. They're just like, oh, we're just passing through. We'll just stay here for a night. Obviously, like a kind of more or less well to do couple dressed very nice at the Continental breakfast, and they go up and tell the receptionist, hey, the waffle maker's out of juice. And the manager tells Troy, and he just like throws a fit, throws his hands up in the air, acts like it's the biggest waste of his time and inconvenience. And he goes over there and just the most begrudgingly, and the whole time the people are like, well, we're so sorry. We're so sorry. Made them feel like trash, you know, because he had to do his
job. We just wanted a Texas shaped waffle. They're really big.
There was a hotel similar to that, you know, where I grew up in Oklahoma City. Was a dead end. We lived on the house right on the dead end, and next to that was an oil field with where they pumped salt water, oil wells. Well, across the oil field on the other side was a huge bank and a huge old hotel, Best Value Inn. And Best Value Inn, it was run by I don't remember his name, but I know he was from India, and he had the suite, which is a 2-story suite, which was just 4 apartments upstairs and downstairs torn out to make it be his house.
Right.
Right next to the office. And then about 2/3 to 3/4, that'd be about the right, were actually units that were not usable.
Right.
Like 10 of them were fire damaged. Oh, no, okay. 10 of them were fire damaged. Another gutted. Like 20 something were
radioactive spill.
Yes. No, they were gutted for renovations that never happened.
Oh yeah.
They were, you know what I mean? Other ones were like all the windows were knocked out and all the TVs and sinks and toilets were stolen. So they were just, you know, gutted by the people down right. the road. But so yeah, that whole hotel was, I remember I stayed in there one time.
Oh man.
And I did not have good intentions.
Yeah, caught an STD and
no. yeah.
But yeah. And why best value in? Just cut the pretense out. There's no value in that. Just yeah. just cheapest. Yeah. The cheapest yeah. in.
They okay. sold hourly rates as oh, well yes. as yeah. $24.99 a night.
Just and bed probably
and
on.
Weekly. You know, they preferred hourly or weekly. Yeah.
Right,
know?
Right.
Just however often a welfare check comes in. That's where we start.
Yep. Right. How long are you staying? A whole day? Like, oh,
yeah.
Those are the worst.
Yeah.
They also still had the billboards that $19.99 a room a night and up. And yeah. But they never had the $19.99 ones.
Right, right.
It was $24.99 was the cheapest well, one you could find.
The one that's $19.99 looks like Afghanistan. It's yeah. been bombed out and right. depleted.
There but, might be an IED in there.
Yeah, exactly. I don't know.
Yeah. But, of course, nothing's worse than staying at the Travelodge with, like, a 40-ounce steak in your stomach from the Big Texan. Mm. We go to the Big Texan, man. That place is something else.
It's popping every poppin time you go
always,
there.
Always. It's everybody driving through because, again, Amarillo is one of those places that, like, everybody's been to.
Yeah.
But nobody stays. It's like, no, nobody goes to Amarillo.
They have a limousine come pick you up from yeah. your hotel room.
Yeah, and it's got big horns on it.
Got big horns. And I was so excited. I was going to have the 72-ounce steak until I saw they actually put you on a like a raised podium in the middle of the restaurant, and right. that's where you have to eat it if you want to do it for yeah. free. And
you have to degrade yourself.
Yeah,
they give you a bib that says like I'm a fat boy or yeah. something. And
I'd rather just degrade myself in private up there. And I promise you, I ain't cheating.
Yeah. Why don't we just do the podcast from there one day, and just all three of us do it right there on the table?
8 hours from here.
Yeah. So, the thing is I mean, I would pay the money to just eat the steak.
Yeah, that's true.
Like,
$76 bucks for yeah, a 72-ounce steak.
That's not bad. So I would be like, listen, can I just buy the steak?
Yeah.
I just want the steak and I want to eat it here with my family.
No,
I don't
you
wanna,
have to publicly degrade yourself.
Well, then I don't want it. You know? And of course, you have to eat like the jalapenos and stuff with it too. I just yeah.
you have to, the
whole thing. You have to eat the plate.
I have a strategy for it though.
Yeah,
cut up the jalapeno into tiny little slivers, a little bit with every bite. You'd never even notice it.
Sure,
mm-hmm.
But you got to DC. You got to be able to get rid of the seeds. There's no way they expect you to swallow all those seeds. Because that's the
spicy bit.
That's the spicy part. I remember Patrick thinks he's such a man when it comes to that, and he bites one bite into the jalapeno. Yeah,
it was staring me in the eyes when I did
it. Yeah, and he just went beet red, and you were out of it all night. Yeah, it made you delirious.
Holy
yeah.
crap.
Yeah, one jalapeno.
Too much capsaicin.
A little bit.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was hopping.
Yeah, so just the worst. I mean, Amarillo probably, if you're from there, sorry, it's one of the worst places I've ever been
to. Yeah, you should move.
Yeah.
What are you doing?
Amarillo, Albuquerque.
You know, I guess I agree with you guys because the only time, the 3 or 4 times we've driven through going to like Colorado or something, we got hit with a hailstorm and it's just had, we've had bat like a flat tire, I think, at one point through that town between, you know, just passing through it.
Right.
I think that's their tactics. They throw a bunch of nails out on the interstate.
Just that's the only way they can get their economy going is yeah. by nail tire repair and
cloud seeding ice in the sky yeah. to freeze the roads up. So
of course, tire repair. Well, we don't have the tire today. It'll be an extra day, so they got to go stay at the Travelodge. Troy gets a cut. Jim Bob gets a cut. Big Texan gets a cut. Well, we're here.
Yeah.
We might as well eat at the only attraction in town. Otherwise, it's all dead and brown. So I just
had my first foray into any type of stock market or cryptocurrencies, stuff like that. So that
was two very different things.
Well, they're handled on the same app. It makes it easy now.
Convenient. Now can I look at my stocks?
Yeah, fine. Dogecoin. Tried that.
Yeah.
At the worst time. Bought in at the worst time.
Yeah, on Doge Day.
Yeah, so for my, let's just take my experience for example. So I bought it when it was a couple days after it was real low, but it was almost peaking, and I bought it, and then it peaked, and I was like, oh, it's going to keep going up, and then it didn't, so I lost about $30 on the whole thing because I sold it after it was like, this isn't happening. And then it was like Doge Day or whatever.
And you sold it because you kind of panicked a little bit, and because had you held it, you could have sold it for a little bit of a profit. Or you could have been even right about now.
Probably, yeah. And then it was Doge Day, which I wasn't, I didn't know that. It was, so I was like, okay, well, if it does jump up to a dollar, I might as well have a few, So I bought some more, and I haven't sold them yet. Now I'm just going to wait with what I have. But basically, I bought into a crypto at a very bad time, sold it for a loss, and then decided to buy again a couple days later when it was on again.
Day trader.
At a peak. Yeah. So, that's my first experience with it. I'm sure everybody has a bad first one. I mean, it's a bad idea to invest in something that you just hope Elon Musk is going to dump some of his shady money into.
Or just shoot a tweet about it.
Yeah, maybe just a tweet. That's all that it takes.
Yeah.
So, Patrick, you jumped in quite a bit on Dogecoin. So did you. And you guys are just HODL, right? It's just HODL gang right
now. Absolutely, yes.
HODL gang.
Trading is not for someone with a weak constitution.
Right.
You have to play the long game sometimes. Now, I was caught up in the excitement. We're recording this Wednesday. Tuesday was 420. That was Doge Day. Because, of course, it's really only stoners that know that are into Dogecoin. But it's funny. It actually, like, the peak it hit yesterday on 420. It was, like, 42 cents.
Right.
And, like, a zero after that.
Right.
So, got some in it for the long game.
Yeah.
There's U.S. bookies is giving it a 16-1 odds that it's going to hit a dollar by the end of the year. Yeah. So
that's not bad odds.
If that's the case, that's a pretty good payday. Now, there's also the same website is also giving 250-1 odds that'll be worth more than Bitcoin by the end of the year. So what they're telling me is there's a chance.
So you're saying there's a chance. There you go. So I don't know. It's I just don't want to miss out on another cryptocurrency.
Yeah, this is the last time I take financial advice through a hashtag.
Yeah,
exactly. Well, and I said this on the air. You made your loss.
Yeah.
And I think everybody takes a loss in something, maybe eventually.
Sure.
So maybe that's your only loss ever in the game. So
I doubt it.
You got it out of your way. But I mean, wherever you buy something at, supposedly in the stock market, 10 years from that moment, it will be more, even if it's 1%.
Right. Barring like a global catastrophe.
Right, right, right.
And not even talking like COVID-19, talking like nuclear exchange between us and China.
China takes out the U.S. Yeah, we talked absolutely. About it on the last podcast.
Aliens invade, asteroid hits us, barring any of those things.
It will be, so I should buy some GameStop right now, is what you're saying. In 10 years, that's going to be worth more?
That's a very good point. Will we see? And now, of course, you got Enron. You got companies that fell off completely, bankruptcy. Federal Trade Commission said you've been fooling everybody forever now, or whatever.
Right.
So those are outliers. But in this instance, that 10 years from now, the stock is still there and available, then it should be worth more. I guess the statistically, Sean, I'm sure there's those outliers that say that the stock fell or whatever.
GameStop is such a weird thing. I mean, fueled by retail investment. And again, it was the squeeze put on a short sell, which does not make the company like physically more valuable or anything.
Right.
It's not like GameStop is now
but
a successful company. I mean,
but stock exchange does have to do with value too, though.
It does.
So it's crazy how you're right. It doesn't, but yet it does.
But it's also the brick and mortar style game store in the era of digital downloads and Game Pass and things like that.
It's only worth $5 a stock. Really,
no future for it. Yeah, I mean, the short sale. I love the David versus Goliath thing of putting the squeeze on the short sell, but at the same time, the short sell is as I've told y'all before, it's an effective and sometimes needed financial instrument to to take companies down a peg. It's like your stock ain't worth what you're offering it for. You short sell it to make it hit more realistic rounds. I think it was Warren Buffett in the 90s who did that to the the Malaysian, whatever their currency is, and a couple of others in the nation, did a big squeeze on the short sell. And orchestrated a short sell, you know, to again make those currencies actually reflect the value that they're actually at.
Right.
You know.
Right. Yeah. Take a look at GameStop's business model. So you go in, you know, smells about as bad as this room probably does right now. You got Swamp Troll sitting behind the desk on a chair. That doesn't, well, we talked about
it. Swivel stool, right?
Swivel stool, yeah.
And he can do all his business. Like, he's got everything around him. He doesn't have to get up or.
Yeah, register here, hottest new game here, Cheetos, like the whole deal.
Yeah.
And then he's got like.
Insulin down under the shelf.
Yeah. And then he's got like all of his nerd friends who are jealous of the GameStop employees.
They just hang out there all day.
So yeah, hanging out.
And no money.
Yeah. He's like, oh, I already got my copy of Skyrim in the back, you know, like,
yes. Remember,
yeah.
Yes, I remember that actual conversation.
Yes.
Actually.
Yeah.
That's funny.
You guys are waiting in line for it.
Yeah. Yeah, making like $1.50 more than minimum wage.
Yeah.
You know, working like 70 hours a week and only getting paid like 40 because he's on salary.
And your face just breaks out more and more.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, I mean, it just doesn't work. I mean, why would you go there, get treated, you know, like condescendingly? Is that a word?
Yeah.
All right, sure. You know, you get it home, it's all scratched up, like used copy, missing the booklet, the whole thing. Like, it just doesn't make any sense. Might as well just buy it online now.
But then because of that squeeze, I mean, at one point their market capital was like, it rivaled or surpassed any auto manufacturer. It surpassed like General Electric, Raytheon, you know, big companies. I mean, at one point it was like $300 billion was their market cap, which is just absolutely ridiculous.
It's funny, the same people who were working in that store are the same Redditors who made it happen.
Yeah, no doubt.
Yeah, and now they're all like trading kings or whatever, like real players in the stock market.
A lot of them are at a tremendous loss right now.
Yeah, I keep seeing people like, I just dumped $124K into a GME, so let's, like, you know, fingers crossed.
Gosh.
Like, it's not going to happen.
At $150 per?
Yeah.
Maybe if you did it back when it was $30 per, or even
$4. And
exactly.
Yeah.
Because that's what it's worth, $4, you know, at this point. It's a failing company.
Right.
Again, this is, it's not like the CEO.
It is
CEO.
Blockbuster Video.
Yeah, yes.
It is. You're right.
It's not that the CEO is going to, like, totally revamp GameStop, you know. He's pocketing everything that he can right now.
The next gen's computer, or Xbox and Sony PlayStation, do they even have an opening for a disc? I haven't thought
about it. Good question.
Know.
Yeah,
I think they do. Yeah,
okay.
Yeah,
for
the
older
Xbox
discs, maybe.
Yeah.
But are they even producing new discs now? Are they just? Is it what I would like to see, the percentage of digital downloads versus discs purchases at GameStop and Walmart?
Oh, right. I'm sure it doesn't even compete with one another.
Right.
It's the digital downloads is such the way,
the flop,
you know.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah. I mean, unless you just. You have a terrible internet access, but most video games nowadays, even they require you to have internet access to even like do anything with them,
whether they're single player or not.
Right.
Yeah.
Yep.
So I don't know. I guess I just don't know exactly what I'm doing. I'm not really wanting to learn too much, if that's bad. Like, you know, maybe eventually I can start investing. I don't have enough capital right now. I'm just putting in a little money into some cryptocurrencies, hoping that I can see like a Bitcoin. I just don't want to. I don't want to miss out in a year or something like that. Like Dogecoin, $3,000. You know,
right?
Like,
yeah.
God damn it! Like, why didn't I get into that?
Exactly. And that's and that's what is attracting people to cryptocurrencies right now.
It
is.
You can.
It's extremely volatile, which means you can make a huge amount of profit if at the certain opportunities.
Yeah.
And Dogecoin, honestly, they've had a lot of good things happen this past week. There's a Conegra and some other companies out there are now accepting Dogecoin as forms of payment. It's not just, it used to be just something you just like tip online artists with, you know.
I heard the billionaire that owns the Mavericks is going to start taking Dogecoin for all of his online purchases for tickets.
Mark Cuban,
yes,
that's huge. And you're going to see that's a snowball effect. So honestly, I mean, you know, part of the problem right now with Dogecoin is that we know cost is the cost is the value of scarcity, and Dogecoin is not a scarce thing. There's 128 billion of them. But a lot of that, they're just sitting in bank accounts not being used because there's not a whole lot of opportunities to use them. The more that you use them, there'll be a value associated with that, which you'll see reflected in the cost of them, obviously. Right. So
my 214 Dogecoin, I don't imagine I'm going to be selling them until it's worth like, you know, if it's worth like $500 a Dogecoin or something some point, you know, I'm not saying that's going to happen, but like if it does, I got some Dogecoin sitting and I'm just not going to, I don't even want to sell it. Even if it reaches a dollar and just make, you know, a couple $200 or whatever, that's not, you know.
But we have stock in the in the Dogecoin itself. We don't actually own Dogecoin, the you could turn that into cash money, but you couldn't use that as a currency outside of your stock.
Don't have a wallet of Dogecoin. Exactly.
Well,
and I don't know.
I don't know what the hell I'm talking about.
No. You have stock in the coin, in the cryptocurrency. Right. You don't own that cryptocurrency. I think that's, I'm pretty sure that's the way it works.
You'd have to get like a Dogecoin wallet
right,
or whatever and actually set up an account through that to actually have that. It's like you're saying, we've just bought the trading of the coin itself, not the actual coin.
Which basically is just can we say it's a future of what we think Dogecoin, its ability to, like we talked about, its ability to be mass used. Versus now, right now, it's very small ability to use it or to get it even. Where do you get it? You know, I guess you could type in on your phone Dogecoin wallet and probably find some Dogecoin you could buy maybe.
Right. Yeah. I don't know. So I thought it was at like 50 cents or whatever, 42 cents a Dogecoin.
I think that's where the evaluation is. Yes.
Right. Correct. Yeah. And we're like paying for the valuation of it, not the actual physical.
Which like a future, just like when you buy futures and oils, barrels of oil, you're not actually purchasing a barrel of oil.
Right.
You're buying the value of it will be the next day or the next month.
Yeah. Now, the problem with Dogecoin is that, I mean, there's lots, but for one, it's just a joke. It was invented as a joke to really just make fun of the cryptocurrency frenzy that we saw like starting like 2013 and the years after. So it's just like a meme. It's a meme currency.
Yeah.
Now it is like the sixth largest cryptocurrency now because of what we've seen here this last week. And there was there for a while, their market cap was more than Ford.
Yeah.
You know, that doesn't mean it was value, you know, not like a blue chip company like Ford, but it's like 30% of the Dogecoin out there, of the 128 billion coins out there, are owned by like two people. Right. And certainly, they're two of the folks who kept it from increasing in value on Doge Day. I saw that like every time that Dogecoin would hit 35 cents, a million would get sold right then and there. And they just had it because, you know, probably using something like Robinhood where you can set a sell limit, you know, where it hits a certain point and it just automatically sells. And again, every time it hit 35 cents, a million would get sold. That would cause the price to drop. It would raise back up slowly to 35. Blam, another million gets sold. It's like keeping it depressed that way.
Right.
You know, and again, these are probably people who maybe the founders of it even, or just gave themselves a bunch of their
got
folks
it when it was a penny or less.
At one point it was 0.004 of a, you know, it was like a 4,000th of a cent, you know, is what it was worth.
And then you just sell it at 35. That's huge.
Oh, that's tremendous. Massive, yeah.
Yeah. I bought 100,000 at that 0.0009, which was, you know, or 0.00. Yeah. Three zeros and a nine. I think it was. So, It was $100 for 100,000 of them.
Right.
Whatever the, you know. Yeah. What I mean?
So it was you were paying for like 9/10,000ths of
a penny?
Yeah, of a penny.
Wow.
Right. And then you sold it at 7 cents, right?
Yeah, 7 cents and made like $6,000 or whatever it was. Right. But had I saved it till now, I'd have sort of $40,000, you know.
Right, then who would have known, really?
Yeah,
you know,
I saw 7 cents, like, it'll never be this again.
Right.
You remember we talked about
that? Yeah.
And I sold.
I'm glad, not just out of Schadenfreude, but also because you might have come in that morning, you're like, I just, all this that I bought for less than a thousandth of a penny, I sold, and now I'm out of here, guys, right. And you'll never see me again. I'm moving to the Virgin Islands.
I don't think 40 grand will make Jay Lindley go. Yeah.
I think if he had waited till it was like 40-something cents, it might have been more than that.
Yeah, maybe.
Oh, man.
Well, yeah, that just kind of brings me into what I want to join, which is what the sick culture of wealth. I want to be able to claim affluenza, you know, right. For pissing in a mop bucket at a bar.
The saying is, you know, more money, more problems. Yeah. Well, I'd like to find out.
Yeah, exactly. You know, I'm just sick of like how much I guess we lend towards rich people, like hearing about Elon Musk, caring what his tweet means and this and that. I just don't understand it. Like I just don't care.
And America's way is seeing an Elon Musk out in public and be like, oh, your meal is free, sir. I'm just hanging out with you.
No,
it's
your
awesome.
Meal should be 40 grand.
Your meal is actually 10 times the amount. Why? Because I'm going to feed 30 homeless people after you leave.
Right.
Right?
Yeah.
That's what it should be. But instead, your meal's free,
yeah,
sir.
Yeah. And that's like a class, like we were talking about Mark Cuban a little bit ago. He's a good rich dude. He's a pretty good rich dude. I mean, like, you know, he wants his taxes raised and stuff. I mean, he was posed a question on that Bill Maher show, and he was like, the question was, you know, Mr. Cuban, if your taxes were raised, you know, this amount, which would cost you, you know, this many millions of dollars, he's like, would you even notice? He's like, no.
Yeah.
I have the private jets I have. You can't tax those away from me. He's, you know.
He's also the one that led the way on paying the his hourly employees while when COVID hit and the basketball shut down, professional basketball shut down.
Right. And he's always big on like college basketball guys getting paid and stuff like that. So he's one of those dudes that like kind of can escape that a little bit, I think, probably because he wasn't born rich.
Right.
You know, good and point.
He's
considered
definitely, self-made, I think.
Yeah, yeah. He's definitely self-made. Way more, way richer than Donald Trump.
Right.
who was born with more money than Mark Cuban was born with, and, you know, he made way more.
Right.
So that's just interesting, you know, I don't know, something about just being that freaking sick wealthy, like Elon Musk and stuff, just like, oh, yeah, my tweet will change the tide of everything.
And it does.
His forays into space and all this. It's just like, ugh, you're gallivanting around. I don't know. I don't like the guy, and I don't like his wife, and I don't like his presentation. I think that stuff should just be shut away, and I'm starting to sound like Jesse Ventura. There shouldn't be a minimum wage. There should be a maximum wage.
Well, you know? Yeah.
I was going to say, I sometimes think we give Elon Musk way too hard of a time. I don't know. I'm really down with this whole, like let's go to space thing. I'm sorry. It's naive. Maybe it's childish. But, again, instead of, like, I never see pictures of him just, like, with, like, three dozen hotties in swimsuits on some, you know, $150 million yacht. You know, in True. The Red Sea or something, like partying up. The guy, every like picture I see, he's like kind of working. You know, he's like out there like inspecting the new Raptor engine for his spaceships. Like the guy's like he's dedicated to his brand. You know, and maybe I'm not looking enough, but
yeah, I guess all the ones I see because I look at like those news, like the news, like entertainment news and stuff a lot for the show, and he's always. Big face. His face is this big, but his head is this big. And
he's smoking a lot more weed in public. I know that, but
there's just something about his public presence I don't like.
So Elon Musk is Tesla, right?
Yeah.
And he got kicked off of his own board for smoking weed on the TV on the podcast. So
this one.
Go he was out. With us. Regrettable 3. Was
I think it was.
But no, I can see where you're coming from. He's the one that's married to the rock star, right?
Grimes,
a rock star who's facially tatted it up and everything. No,
I don't know.
I've never seen her, so I can't.
She's like 20. So that's just gross.
How old is he? Is he my
40s?
Age?
40s.
Okay.
Yeah, I think Tyler described her as like a vampire hasn't been able to feed on blood in like a month or something. That's what she looks like.
Anemic drug dealer.
But no 40-year-old man would fault another 40-year-old man for pulling a 20-year-old woman. It just never happens. Sorry. Yeah. As a 20-something-year-old, you can look at it as disgustful because you're not 40 yet.
I know some 40-year-olds who would look at you if you were not just pulling one. If you could pull one at a bar, there's nothing but marrying.
Well,
that's what he did.
Yeah, you're right. You're right. Yeah, I'm just talking about Napoleon.
Because he's maybe not a bad guy, and he did a responsible thing. Married her, had a child with her, you know?
Oh, my goodness.
Named Apple.
Is that what it's...
well, I'm sure it's like unpronounceable.
Actually, yeah, isn't that like Gwyneth Fs. Paltrow's child's name, Apple?
Yeah, or no, that was... I think that was Michael Jackson's Apple and Blanket and whatnot. And
Monkey.
I mean, yeah. It's not even like out of protest or something. Like when Prince changed his name to the symbol, that was like a protest against Sony being like, we own you, bro.
Correct.
And he's like, that's true. Maybe you own Prince, but you don't own squiggle lines.
Right.
Actually, the symbol came after his fans demanded something because he gave them nothing. He gave radio nothing. So they just called him the artist formerly known as Prince for like 6 months. And then he's like, finally, gave him a symbol. And then they called him the symbol.
The symbol.
For a little while. It was pretty funny.
Okay. But I don't know. Elon, I'm not going to say he's a wholesome guy, you know, but he's also, I think he's, I don't, correct me if I'm wrong. I'm not going to say he's rags to riches, but he had a fairly humble beginning, right?
I mean, I don't think so. I thought he was raised pretty well.
Maybe.
Yeah, let's get some fact checking.
Being white in apartheid South Africa probably means you're doing well,
right,
at least in comparison. But I know, like the famous story, he kind of got his founding by begging some rich people to have lunch with him and threw some ideas by him and his brother. And from there on, you know, he just kind of built it up until, I guess, it was really in the last. What, 15 years, really, when Tesla, you know, started with Tesla. And I think that was really just a vehicle for him to raise the funds to be able to get us to space. He's a high-minded guy.
Get us to space.
Get us to space.
It's not going to happen. Like, I can guarantee that. He keeps saying we're going to be in space by 20. It keeps getting pushed back 4 years. What you got over there?
Okay, his mother is Mae Musk, a model and dietitian born in Saskatchewan, Canada, but raised in South Africa. His father is Errol Musk, a South African electromechanical engineer slash pilot slash sailor slash consultant slash property developer slash. So,
maybe not the most humble of beginnings then, but.
No, I don't care. I just hate his. I hate looking at his face. I hate hearing him talk about space. I hate looking at his tweets. I don't understand why we're so infatuated with this damn wealthy people.
Well, he's wealthy for a reason. Tesla, right? So Tesla is a type of car
which is being like, you know, whatever, investigated for all these shady dealings.
Well, but it's like. But it's like pioneering self-driving technology, which I trust a self-driving car before I drive a human or trust a human being driving one these days.
Yeah, I don't understand why we gotta change things.
Because he's honestly he's doing something. Most rich people that we idolize nowadays, I mean, we idolize like.
What's he
pro
doing?
Pro athletes who like play a couple seasons, make millions of dollars with like musicians, a lot of vapid people on social media. We idolize plenty of people. Like, I don't know. I was just reading a statistic the other day that says some recent study of high school students that more high school students, and this is like a CBS poll, so take it how you will, but more high school students would rather have a famous Instagram, a verified Instagram account than they would a college degree. Right. You know, and it's just, I don't know, to me at least Elon Musk, he's like maybe a role model, an entrepreneurial role model that we so desperately lack anywhere else these days.
Oh, man.
We don't
that's
have.
Sad, dude.
But it's harder to invent than. We don't have Edison's, you know, we don't have.
That's kind of where I was going. He also was the reason why he could start a whole automobile company, which was a huge feat when other automobile companies were being obliterated because of the stock market and all that stuff. But PayPal, he was the co-founder of PayPal.
Oh, really?
I did not know that at all. I just found that amongst my search. So that's where the, I guess, co-founder of PayPal is where the money for his cars were.
My whole point is I don't care exactly like what he's invented. Like I'm sure, PayPal cool, Tesla cool, and all that. He's just extremely wealthy, and I can't stop reading about him along with everybody else. Why do I have to know about Kanye West? Let's transition then. Kanye West and Elon Musk both in the same circle for me.
Yeah, but Kanye West is what he hasn't really done anything, right? I can't name a single of his songs to be honest.
Well, you don't listen to him. The man is a freaking genius when it comes to.
All right.
Like, I don't like
that. And I'll give you that. And I agree too. Yeah. I think that Elon Musk is a genius.
And that's, well, I'm not disputing that. Why do I have to hear about his genius? Why do I have to hear Kanye West speak? Shut up, make a beat. That's, and I'll hear that. You know, okay, Elon Musk, it's just.
I think you're like, just, in the discussed portion is where their personal lives come in too. I think you just said he's a genius. You can agree that Elon Musk is a genius for the things he's
smarter
done.
Than me.
Right. But it's America's or the world's. I don't know if it's just America because, you know, European has similar types. But it's that dive into their personal lives and everybody just being consumed with that portion of it that makes me at celebrity.
Yeah, it's the same with the royalty, like how much our country's fixated on Meghan and Harry and this whole split. Who gives a shit?
Yeah. And same with Elon Musk. Like, and maybe I'm biased because I don't give a crap about going to space. Yeah. I just don't.
I just think you're jealous. You just want to be the first one to get us to space.
Hell no.
Yeah, you do.
Why does NASA keep all that information to themselves? Why not let other people roll out with it? Why not let private space happen?
Well, because then we'd figure out that the moon landing was fake.
Right. Right. I don't know. I guess I just I think that climate change is probably the biggest a hump that we have to overcome in our lifetimes. And I mean, I don't know. I don't understand the idea of trashing a planet and then also looking at being like, we're gonna go to Mars. Like,
but he's also making electric vehicles. He's like, let's at least, you know, help cut out
Does that help the planet?
No, it staves off. I guess it bottlenecks a little bit because, I mean, you could drive all the vehicles you want, you know, all the electric vehicles around you want. I mean, they're still a joke to a lot of people.
I mean, be honest, the only way to save the planet is to not have children at this point.
Yeah, that's the most green thing you can do.
If you're listening, you can recycle, you can drive an electric vehicle, you can do all these things that you get to pat you every time you throw a can in a blue container, you can pat yourself on the back. But having kids, on as many people as there are on a planet, just simply having kids right now assures the destruction of the planet, right?
The problem with that thinking is only smart people stop having kids to save the planet.
Right. Right. Not that we should stop having children.
No, absolutely
we gotta,
not.
Like I don't know.
Let's become China and just allow one child per family.
Oh, no. Let's not do that.
No?
I guess I just don't understand. I guess it just gives this people like a, you know, the grass is always redder on Mars. Like, I don't give a crap. You know, like, let's, you know, I'm not saying that Elon Musk should be doing, like, he does what he wants is with his company. He does what he wants. He wants to go to space, then fine. But, like, and that I'm not saying he needs to be doing something with the environment. He probably is. He probably donates and all that stuff. I just don't like the idea that it breeds, that it's like, oh, well, we'll be on Mars soon enough.
Yeah.
No air. Not a shred of it there.
And that's, and it's going to take a long.
It's a little bit. Whenever I'm thinking of like a vacation spot, you know, I'm not thinking like, you know, Mariana's Trench. Let's go there. No air.
Yeah.
You know,
how warm's the water? That's important.
Yeah.
But so air is there.
Yeah. What do you think of submarines? You're not down with submarines?
Well, they've got air in them.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But a limited
amount.
So
would a spaceship or a habitable colony.
Yeah, but then it comes up like when there's an emergency, you get to come up to a place with air. Like,
gotcha.
Like it's so, there's a 2 week window of every 2 years that you could possibly even get to Mars from Earth. So when you're over there and all of a sudden there's the red light like there is in a submarine, you don't just get to, all right, you know.
We have 3 days left of oxygen.
Yeah, let's breach. No. Okay, it'd be like, all right, Elon Musk on the other line. All right, you guys just, you know, hold tight. We'll be there in 2 years.
Hold your breath every once in a while.
You kind of signed up. I told you. It's kind of a one-way trip, guys.
Yeah.
Maybe he's just interested in space when it's safe for everyone.
Yeah. In my mind, I'm all for it. Let's send Elon Musk. Just go ahead, bro.
Boom.
Like, you can go off,
everybody's happy then.
I'll be happy.
Come on with us, Elon.
So I can stop reading about him. Like, every day.
I'm just saying, you be careful with that guy because you're not careful. He's in the next, like, Weyland-Yutani. Like, Like we keep,
That's what I don't like.
Making fun of this is the evil corporation from the Aliens franchise.
Oh, okay.
From like with Sigourney Weaver and stuff. It was the company that was like trying to turn the xenomorph into a biological weapon and
right,
just evil spacefaring company. But we keep like trashing them and all this and making fun of them. We're gonna turn them into like an evil madman if it's not happened already.
Right.
I love it.
Soon it's gonna be Musk Bezos and like, yeah. I don't know. I just don't like the idea of our future, like, you know, Weyland Yutani esque thing is gonna be called Musk. Like what a bug gives off to defend itself.
That's or what you douse when you're in the 70s and 80s for
some
a date.
Musk. Yeah.
What an oxen gives off to attract mates.
Right. Oh, man. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. I just, you know, everybody talks about the sick culture of poverty. That's what they call it. I'm talking about the sick culture of wealth, which is like, I just don't understand why people would be so, like, the royal family was probably a better example to use than Elon Musk, because Elon Musk actually, you're right, he's got his companies and this and that, but I'm looking at it the same way as I'm looking at why I get to read about Kanye West, why I get to read about the royal family. Like, I just don't understand why poor people give a crap.
Yeah, and what's sad is
what they could have, maybe? Right?
Yeah, absolutely. This is America. You know, it's a land of get rich quick schemes. We could win the lottery tomorrow, and we could be the next Bezos. And that's why you see the poorer someone is, like the more conservative as far as tax policy they'll vote for. Because like, when I'm rich tomorrow, I don't want to have it all taken away from by the government. Your chances of ever leaving the social status that you're born into, very, very small.
Right.
But what strikes me more so than poor people trying to understand how to be rich is how, man, the ultra wealthy in this country, I don't know, realize that they have no concept of what it means to be poor. Like, they're just like, why aren't poor people rich too?
Right.
You know? That's what frustrates me.
You have the book Rich Dad, Poor Dad. Why haven't you read it yet?
You have the stock market. You know, you just need to work a little harder, okay?
All you needed was your dad to give you $20. You just hold on to that $20.
Yeah.
Invest it.
Exactly.
Well, my father died. He gave me $200 million. Yeah. What did your dad leave you? Yeah.
So it's your father's fault. Your deadbeat father's fault.
You know what he left me? Alone.
All right. Well, we're going to move on here. We're going to get into our emails. We do have two. We have two regrettable JTP@gmail.com emails. Legitimate ones, too. I'm not debating y'all this time.
Yeah, good. I was really disappointed. I was so excited and then so let down.
Yeah.
Yeah. Like watching one of Elon Musk's SpaceX rockets take off and then blow up.
Yeah. Well, that was worth it.
Yeah.
That was totally worth all that time and effort and money. let's get into it. First one I have here is from Chance. The subject of the email, the mystery of why there's no episode 4 of Regrettable on Spotify. Ooh. Let me go ahead and clear that up for you now.
Oh, man, you want to clear it up? Don't ever do that.
No, I'm going to clear it up. I left some very colorful language in there. Way more colorful than when...
Yes.
Yeah, so actually what had happened was... I uploaded it, sent it off, felt great. Went back home, literally sat on the bench to crack a beer, cracked it, and like was sipping it, and my eyes just like wrenched open and realized I did not bleep out a very colorful bad word that I do not say. You know, it was just
For dire straits to say.
There you go. Yeah. And it's got his earring and his makeup and the whole deal. I left it in when I meant to bleep it out because it was very pivotal to the story.
Yeah.
So I rush back and I'm texting and I'm like, please, I got to get this re-uploaded and this and that. And Spotify did not like it. I don't know. Something about episode 4. They said they couldn't get it back on there. So I just accepted it that was my fault. So that's why episode 4, I'll clear up the mystery now. You can imagine what the term was again.
Like it's not that we were cheating and trying to say we had a fourth episode.
Right.
Didn't.
That's a good point. Because you can find it on other.
You can go to iTunes. You can go to the WashtawPodcast.com. Yeah. So Chance says, keep doing what y'all are doing. I enjoy listening to the podcast and the morning brew.
Thanks, Chance.
Yeah. Awesome. So shout out to Chance. Gizmo coming at you. We're actually looking at getting some shirts and whatnot. So we'll, you know, Gizmo but you know, get you a little something.
And then we'll have to get
More useful. Go ahead.
And then we'll have to get you like post hashtag regrettable JTP with your picture of wearing a shirt.
There you go.
On social media. Facebook,
right next to your
Twitter,
food.
Instagram. Yeah.
Yeah. Going on to the next one, we have David. He very much enjoyed the last last podcast. The subject of the email was the fries place at the mall.
Nice.
You know, because we were talking about the mall, of course. It'll always have this one place. It's like, it's fries. And then, oh, yeah, something else as yeah. well. Like, whatever, you know, something, usually just a hot dog or something. Yeah. Just burger, you know, it says that.
Yeah.
So he said, I love your show. Had fun reminiscing with memories of malls. The fries in a cup place around me was Steak Escape.
Nice.
And they had cheesesteak and steak fries. Keep up the great work. Thanks for taking me back to good times.
Awesome.
Signed, DB.
What?
DB nice. Cooper? Yeah, and he sent some pictures of Fresh Fry Nation. That's, very you know, cool. He took their flyers or whatever, looked them up. Sweet. So
looked like some fully loaded fries there.
Yeah,
what is a cheesesteak?
Is that like a Philly cheesesteak?
It's
like
cheesesteak?
It's like shaved pit beef that's chopped up and then have cheese in the middle, right? And then melted and on a hoagie bun or whatever.
Oh, okay, yeah. Okay, yeah, still on a sandwich.
It's a sandwich, yeah.
Philly cheesesteak.
But if you got the cheesesteak fries, then it would be all of that on the fries.
Yeah. Right.
Nice. So it's pretty good.
That sounds bread. Delicious.
Oh, yeah.
It is.
Oh, what? Philadelphia is known for a few different things, right? They got like some bell that's a little damaged.
Who cares about that anymore?
Yeah, they should just melt that down.
Yeah, turn it into something useful, like cases for iPods.
Sell it as
iPods. What? How old am I?
Yeah,
iPods.
I was gonna say sell it as scrap to China so they can make a new war vessel out of it.
There you go.
No, no one saying, Patrick. You know what? I found your conversation about China last week very inspiring. It makes me love and believe in America more than ever. Nothing
like that yet.
Close.
Yeah, so if you're listening, you're like, okay, we have the water broken for the email. So now if you were like not wanting to be the first or whatever, send an email. If you very much enjoyed or hated Patrick's China talk, if you're a China sympathizer.
Yeah, if you're like, no, China won. Okay,
you idiot.
If Patrick should do a spinoff of just political talk,
let him know. Talk in China. Chat in China.
Patrick's politics.
Yeah, there you go.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so.
Totally.
Regrettable. JTP@gmail.com is the place where you can send us your email. Send us some questions. I'd love to read some questions. I'd love to surprise you all with questions.
I love that too. And follow us on social media too.
Yeah, all you have Regrettable Pod 1 for Twitter.
Can we get Regrettable JTP on
that? We can try it out. Okay, we should probably make it Regrettable JTP for all of them.
What's great is we have hired a social media person to help launch because we've just been lazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I hate it. I hate checking it every
All we
time.
Do is trash social media.
Right.
And, what's but now we're going to be, you know, sometimes you have to know your enemy to defeat
your enemy. So. That's right. Yeah, the Sun Tzu Art of War, we're applying it to the podcast.
That's right.
That's right.